Father God, I thank you for this time that we can come together and start our day by sitting before you. Father God, we attune our hearts to yours, and Holy Spirit, come and speak to us. Draw close to us as we draw close to you. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Let me read today's passage and also devotion first. I'm going to read from Matthew 24, verse 1 to 28. Jesus left the temple and was going away. When his disciples came to point out to him the buildings of the temple, but he answered them, "You see all this, do you not? Truly, I say to you, there will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down." As he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the close of the age?" And Jesus answered them, "See that no one leads you astray. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I'm the Christ,' and they will lead many astray. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not alarmed, for this must take place, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are but the beginning of the birth pains. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and put you to death. And you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. And many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. And because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. So when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by the prophet Daniel standing in the holy place, let the reader understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let the one who is on the housetop not go down to take what is in his house. And let the one who is in the field not turn back to take his cloak. And alas, for women who are pregnant and for those who are nursing infants in those days, pray that your flight may not be in winter or on a Sabbath. For then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been from the beginning of the world until now, no, and never will be. And if those days had not been cut short, no human being would be saved, but for the sake of the elect, those days will be cut short. Then if anyone says to you, 'Look, here is the Christ,' or 'There he is, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and perform great signs and wonders, so as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect. See, I've told you beforehand. So if they say to you, 'Look, he's in the wilderness,' do not go out. If they say, 'Look, he's in the inner rooms,' do not believe. For as the lightning comes from the east and shines as far as the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Wherever the corpse is, there the vouchers will gather. And then I'll read Ephesians 6, verse 19 to 20. And also for me, the word may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I'm an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly, as I ought to speak. Paul is asking for prayer from the Ephesian church here that he may boldly proclaim the mystery of the gospel. The emphasis is on the mystery of the gospel and boldly. The mystery of the gospel has been revealed through Jesus Christ, just as Paul observes in Ephesians 3:6. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. As an apostle among Gentiles, Paul had to take the gospel to different cities to bring people to Christ, which was effectively cross-cultural ministry and carried a certain level of challenge. Through prayer by brothers and sisters, Paul was filled with the Spirit and its power to speak boldly about the gospel. In fact, Paul was utilizing his stay in Ephesus to evangelize Jews there. Similarly, we should pray for our preachers and those from other churches that they will boldly proclaim the mystery of the gospel. Pray that they will be united in bringing different and ethnicities in the city to Christ, so that we can worship God in unison and serve Him and others. What a beautiful picture that would be. Are you willing to pray for these servants of God? So I'm going to share my devotion today. So it happened that last week while we were having dinner, and my father suddenly said to us, "It seems like the end of the world has come." Wow, I was not expecting him to say this. And so later that night, a few thoughts kept coming up to my mind. One is that you don't really need to be prophetic these days, you know, to know the times and seasons we are now in. And the second thought is how many people are there having these thoughts and they are searching for an answer. And the third one is that how many in the body of Christ are aware of the times and seasons and are ready to respond. So in Matthew 24, Jesus prophesied the end of the days and he gave us keys to live in times like this. He gave two commands and two promises in the passage. So the first command he gave is in verse 4. He says, "See that no one leads you astray." He is warning against false prophets. And he also further elaborated in verse 23 and 26. In 23, it says, "Then if anyone says to you, 'Look, here's the Christ,' or 'There he is,' do not believe it." And in verse 26, he also warned people that, no, do not go out just because someone said, "Oh, Christ is in the wilderness," and do not believe it. So I think we must know the truth and not be fooled by the false teaching or false prophets. That means we do not rely on others to tell us what is true or what to do. We must know God and hear from Him. And as a result, we can discern what people is telling us is true or not. So instead of chasing after someone, we must chase after God. So see that no one leads you astray. Let's follow Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And the second command Jesus gave in verse 6, he said, see that you are not alarmed. The Passion Translation puts it in this way, don't panic or give in to your fears. But if we look at what he described in verse 7, he talks about wars and rumors of wars, nation against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and famines and earthquakes in various places. As Christians, we are feeling much the same as those who don't know Jesus. So how can we not be afraid and panic? Jesus points out in verse 8, the reason not to be afraid is that all these are but the beginning of birth pains. Talking about birth pains, I think all the moms will understand what it means to not be afraid of it. For the joy ahead, we endure the birth pain. And so Jesus is saying that good things are coming out of these turbulent times. And he also demonstrated what he taught. He himself, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross for mankind's salvation. So that's the reason Jesus, he also endured. But Jesus also gave us two promises in verse 13 and 14. It says, the one who endures to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will proclaim throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. I would like to read from the Passion Translation. It says like this, but keep your hope to the end, and you will experience life and deliverance. Yet through it all, this joyful assurance of the realm of heaven's kingdom will be proclaimed all over the world, providing every nation with a demonstration of the reality of God. And after this, the end of this age will arrive. So are we excited for the gospel to be proclaimed all over the world and see the reality of God in our daily life? Imagine how different will it be comparing to our current situation. The reality of God. Ooh. How far am I living from that reality? I keep thinking this. A few days ago, I was joining an online meeting, and the speaker said something like this. He said, every generation of the body of Christ should be living like the last generation before Jesus comes back. The prophecy Jesus gave in Matthew 24 was some 2,000 years ago, and many generations has passed. But thinking about those followers of Jesus in the first century who lived and endured fatal persecutions, those who lived and endured during the Black Plague in Europe, or those who lived and endured during the two world wars. So Jesus, he was speaking to those generations about these truths as well. And now it's our time. I remember when I first came to Christ, I became passionate about sharing gospel to my extended families who were living in mainland China and never heard of the gospel. I felt the urgency to tell them about Jesus. And I only see fruits after many years, but it's so worth it. I now understand that it's God's love for them that filled me and moved me to do that. In verse 12, I'm also again using Passion Translation. It says there will be such an increase of sin and lawlessness that those whose heart once burned with passion for God and others will grow cold. But keep your hope to the end and you will experience life and deliverance. So brothers and sisters, God is preparing people's hearts to turn to Him, and our duty is to keep our hearts burning with passion for God and others. If the world is ready to hear the gospel, are we ready to preach it? Jesus said, "See, I have told you beforehand. See that no one leads you astray. See that you are not alarmed." This is the birth pain for what He is ushering in, the great harvest ahead of our time. This is our time to live like the last generation before He comes back. And so let's keep our hearts burning with passion for Him and others. Be ready. What an exciting time we get to live and look forward to. As in Esther 4:14, it says, "And who knows whether you have not come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" So this is my sharing. And as I invite the worship leader to come and lead worship, let's pay attention to the Holy Spirit, what He is revealing to us, each of us. Are we listening to the world or the word? Are we doing what Jesus had asked of us? Are we ready to see gospel being preached to the whole world and welcome Him back? What is the one action that we can do to bring changes in our life, so in order that we be ready for Him?
His face shine upon you, be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face towards you and give you peace. Lord bless you and keep you. Make His face shine upon you, be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face towards you and give you peace. Amen. Amen. favor be upon you and a thousand generations, and your family and your children and their children and their children. May His favor be upon you and a thousand generations, and your family and your children and their children and their children. May His favor be upon you and a thousand generations, and your family and your children and their children and their children. May His favor be upon you and a thousand generations, and your family and your children and their children and their children. May His presence go before you and behind you and beside you, all around you and within you. He is with you, He is with you in the morning, in the evening, in your coming and your going, in your weeping and rejoicing. He is for you, 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 He is for you. Children and their children, His favor be upon you and a thousand generations, and your family and your children and their children and their children. May His presence go before you and behind you and beside you, all around you and within you. He is with you, coming and your going, in your weeping and rejoicing. He is for you, He is. May His presence go before you and behind you and beside you, all around you and within you. He is with you, He is with you in the morning, in the evening, in your coming and your going, in your weeping and rejoicing. He is for you, He is for you. Oh, He is for you. He is for you, He is for you. Oh, may His presence go before you and behind you and beside you, all around you and within you. He is with you, He is with you in the morning, in the evening, in your coming and your going, in your weeping and rejoicing. He is for you, He is for you. Oh, He is for you, He is for you, He is with you, He is for you, He is for you, He is for you. We just sing the verse over us again. The Lord bless you and keep you, make His face shine upon you, be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face towards you and give you peace. The Lord bless you and keep you. Make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face towards you and give you peace.
Thank you, Pinate. So Father, we pray for the increasing number of elderly and senior citizens in our city, for health, strength, and a sense of purpose. Help us show them respect and learn from their experience. We especially pray for those who minister to this group. In Jesus' name, amen. Now let's pray for our community. Let's pray for those who suffer from cancer and also going through chemo and radiotherapy and surgery. Let's pray for those suffering from illness and also need salvation in their life. Pray that their hearts will be ready to hear gospel. And also pray for those who are suffering from infirmities. Pray God's healing hand will be upon them, and they will experience and know Him personally. Let's pray for people who are looking for a job. Pray that they will also have rest during this time, and knowing that God is their provider. Now let's pray for SP. First, let's pray for mission focus. For North Korea to open doors for ministry, for missional opportunities or partners in Asia, and also for persecuted churches in also the Middle East. Let's pray for SP's weekend gatherings. There's migrant worker outreach, Sunday services, SP kids, worship, hospitality, SP youth, SP spin and spill, service and activities, all meetings and helping without hurting class on Mondays. Let's also pray for Alpha, for the guest salvation and guest and volunteers protection. Let's pray for house churches, King's Court, Ma Wan, South Side, and West Side. Let's pray for Hong Kong, for people to have hope, especially during this time when many people are affected, whether maybe some may lose their job, some are facing illness, or some are fighting, doctors and nurses. Let's pray for Hong Kong. Father God, I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to pray together with the body of Christ. Lord, we come together and Lord, we pray for ourselves, Lord, that we'll be able to hear from you and we'll be able to know we are here for a purpose, Lord. And especially in these turbulent times. But we want to humble ourselves and we want to put our hope in you only, Lord. We want to be like you, that we keep our hope to the end and we will experience your life and deliverance. Lord, we want to see that we are ready for your gospel to be preached all over the world. And we'll be ready when you come back, Lord. I pray that, Father God, that as we go by today, Lord, that you'll be with us, your presence will be with us, Lord. And we get to know what you are doing in life, and we will partner with you. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.